Now, can you hear me now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is Sunday morning. This is 3-7-21. That song that Danny just sang, it was like the Lord just said to me, it's the state of the nation. Why don't you do something, Lord? Why don't you do something? That's what the Lord said to me. He said, the church today, or those that are mine, I'll just say that, they're like Samson. They want to rise. They go about and, you know, do their thing. But they want to rise up and be strong and have the answer. But they forgot that the anointing has departed. So many, and as faith people, we can really get into that, to where we just think, well, I'll just arise like I always have, speak, do whatever. And you know, sometimes the Lord's saying, we got some issues. Samson had to take care of those issues. There was something in the way. And in this nation, the president has stepped off the scene and everybody said, well, he's left us, he's abandoned us. The fourth came, nothing happened. You know, until we as the people of God begin to shake ourselves, begin to stir ourselves up, begin to do what we know to do, it's about us. I don't care what army you got. I don't care the president you got. If people do not change their hearts, we'll be right back in the cesspool we come out of. Just think about that today. Everybody's wanting a bailout. They're all wanting to, well, bail me out of this, and or I'll vote you out, or whatever it is. No, God is looking at the people's hearts today. He's looking at what's inside of us. What are you made of? How bad do you want your freedom? How bad do you want it? Are you willing to fall on your face and say, okay, Lord, for... You know, what, like the scripture in 2 Chronicles says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Learning to do that. See, it's not just D.C. that the swamp is being drained or the local government. It is the church. And since God gave his people authority on this earth, the biggest responsibility lies in our laps. It's good that the president has stepped off the scene. He's waiting on for the people to rise up. He's waiting on you to rise up. Well, you know, we pretty well do that, but there's a lot of people that until they're pushed back into a corner, and like one of the key posts said, we're ready to go over the precipice. It has to be that way. It has to be that way. Because if it doesn't happen that way, you can clean it all up. But the wickedness of men's hearts will cause it to come again. Okay, for whatever that the Lord wanted, you know. Maybe it's just to share with people. Maybe it's to try to get people, like the song was saying, instead of always, Lord, would you do something for me? Would you do this? Would you do that? The Lord's waiting on you to say because he gave you the say. Yeah. We have so much power in the church, we just don't know it. And I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not coming against anybody in particular. I'm just saying as a whole, we've just gotten to where we've opened the door for socialism because in that kind of the way Christianity's become. Let's call the prayer chain, see if we can get an answer. Instead of falling on our face and saying, oh, Father God. I don't know what to do, but I'm looking to you. Yeah. All right, this goes right in with what I'm going to bring this morning, called Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. This is called Ascension Day. Ascension Day. When you follow the Spirit, naturally you will see Spirit manifestation. Duh. You follow the flesh, what are you going to see? Fleshly manifestations. This is why wherever Jesus went, the spirits cried out. This week I've had some experience with that. I had some spirits crying out this week. Some of the places I went. I don't like this, you know what he's saying? Yeah, but he said, when you're walking in the Spirit, you're flowing in the Spirit, you need to expect the supernatural, whether it be good or bad. Good or bad. Jesus saw good and bad. We just think, well, flowing in the supernatural is just all good. Not necessarily. You're going to run into some demons. You're going to run into some things that you're going to have to deal with. Because the supernatural realm is comprised of both. We're going to look at some scriptures here. Matthew 8, the first one. Verse 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fear, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou canst cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. So he's just going about his business, and he's confronting demonic spirits. I know the Lord spoke to me, and we'll see it as I progress, and maybe the next word that I bring, that Jesus dealt with the beast the whole time he was here and his minions. The thing is, you know, today we've gotten civilized where somebody has something like that, we take them to the doctor and get them mental help and put them on all kinds of drugs to keep them under control. How's that going to help anything? No, we've got to deal with these things, see? We've got to learn to deal with these things. And as you learn to flow on the Spirit, this is going to be part of your life. So you just might as well get ready for it. And it might come when you least expect it. Well, Jesus had been in the wilderness with the Father, tempted of the devil, and he come out with Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost and power. So he was armed and he was ready to deal with the demonic forces that confronted him. Okay, Luke 8. No, sorry, Mark 5. I skipped one. Mark 5. This is the same account, just a little bit of a different spin. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Don't think for a minute that those demon spirits don't know who you are. You may not know who you are, but they do. They know when somebody comes into their domain and there you have, you know, they know. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? He answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. I feel sorry for the swine. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart from their coast. Well, he's ruining their business. But the whole point of this is, the people of the day are just putting up with this. These demons that we saw on TV or whatever, the news. Yeah, the politicians, the sports stars, movies. You're seeing devils, the devil's own. You're seeing them manifest. You're seeing them push their stuff and do their stuff. We need to be open to the Lord telling us how to speak to these things, deal with these things, because he'll tell us. Okay, I think Luke 8 is also that same story. Let's see. Yeah, that's the same story, so I won't read that again. But you get the point here. Wherever we go, as children of God, and as we learn to flow in the Spirit, we will meet with these demonic entities. All right, now I'll go back a few pages to Mark 3. Verse 10 says, verse 10. For he had healed many insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. What did Jesus say we needed to do about it? Mark 16. We were supposed to do his works. He said we do greater works. And I think that's because there's so many of us. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? Sometimes you've got to cast the devil out to be able to help the person. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, this is a great commission. This isn't, you know, those that are really close to the Lord and those that are prophets and those that are, you know, preachers and those that are on TV. No, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. As you flow in the supernatural, it's natural to see supernatural things. They'll manifest. Good and not so good. This is why most do not see the supernatural. They don't walk in the Spirit. They just do what they think is best, and there's no manifestation. God is not going to accommodate of people that just walk in the flesh and don't consult him. He's not going to give that responsibility to you if you don't consult him. These are the ones that believe, not talking whether they're born again. No, we know that doesn't mean just that. There's a lot of people say, I love the Lord. It's F-U out of their breath, every other breath. I'm not judging, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, there's fruit. There's fruit. Or they criticize all Christians in their way. Well, you know, at least we've gotten in the way and tried our best, you know. Been hearing that lately, and I'm going, you know, you got to do whatever the Lord tells you to do. We're all parts of a body. We all have a function, and sometimes we're different. That doesn't mean bad. That means different. Your eye has a different function than your nose. The eye can't say to the nose, well, you, what's the eye know? It don't know how to be a nose. But I'm telling you, we're going to recognize them because we're going to see the water walkers. Just like when you know you're a water walker and you cast out devils, you come across others just like you. We don't berate those that don't because, you know, they'll come along. Maybe if we begin to set the pattern of what a real Christian is, they won't be so disillusioned and abandon the Bible and go down all these stupid rabbit holes of stupid stuff that's more confusing than the Bible. I'm thinking, you think the Bible's hard to believe and you believe that stuff? See, we need those that walk it, not just talk it. An example. Jesus was an example. And he empowered us to be an example. I mean, everywhere you go, people get healed or something. It ain't going to take long. People will say, yeah, you know, that, you know, And that the way it was with Jesus, he got to where he couldn't even go inside the towns anymore because he had such masses of crowds with sick and everything, and it was making the leaders mad and all that kind of stuff started happening. Okay, this is why the church has just become an institution with programs. Programs have replaced the supernatural. No different than the false prophets with his false lasers to start fires or calling fire down from heaven with his trickery. Let that sink in. That has come out. No different. See, that's the religious system that appears holy, but when they speak, they're like a dragon. What it says, speak with forked tongue, you know. All right, Matthew 17. Well, the Lord's teaching me. I've had a few encounters, and I'm thinking, what in the world? I said, Lord, help us to acclimate to the supernatural. Are we really ready for it? Yeah. It's like we're deep sea diving. You know, we're going into a territory we're not used to going into. And the Lord's teaching us how we're going to handle these things and not to be afraid and not to be overwhelmed by it. Okay, Matthew 17:2-1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. You wonder why the Church of Acts saw angels all the time? They're walking in the supernatural. They learned to flow in the supernatural. They went and did what Jesus did. And angels just showed up to bail them out of jail and showed up at the door at Rhoda's house to say, you know, we've sprung Peter, you know. or they were praying and the angels did what they asked, and then Peter showed up at Rhoda's house, said, an angel came and got me out of prison. Paul and Silas, the angels shook it. Philip was translated. These are all supernatural things that go on in the supernatural realm. That's why I believe in the thousand-year millennial reign, Jesus doesn't necessarily even have to be here. It's that we've learned to be the church. We've learned to be the way Jesus was, and we do supernatural things. In fact, we'll probably just catch our, Lord catches up and have a conversation with us, and we just come back down and do our business. And then what happened here? He was transfigured. Moses and Elijah came to give him a message. This isn't fantastic. This is supernatural. This is natural for a Christian. Supernatural is natural. It should be nothing to see angels. Kathy, what's her name? She's not Walters. She sees angels all the time. She said some of them come to her house and stay for weeks. And you think, she's as familiar with those angels as she is with their next door neighbors or her, you know, family members. Isn't that what heaven and earth is? It's never been a separated kingdom. You know what separated? Strongholds of the enemy, the prince of the power of the air, has so built up his strongholds that we, at times, it's hard to get a prayer through. Just think about it. We need to change our thinking about the kingdom of God. It is a supernatural walk. It is not just a flesh walk. We're in two worlds. That's why we can be on a different timeline, and someone next to us that doesn't have any clue can be totally living different. The kingdom of God comes not with observation. The kingdom of God is in you, is what Jesus told the disciples and then told others. This isn't a sci-fi thing. It's a supernatural. We've learned to be so natural in the natural. Now we need to learn to be supernatural. Because that's truly who we are. I've heard people say, if they ever get a hold, or if we ever get a hold of who we really are, said, those demons, they're cowering at his feet. Oh, don't send me away to be tormented before the time. Once you know, and you know that authority, and you know in Jesus' name you have the same authority. He gave it to you in his name. That's why he could, you know, not be fearful when you drink any deadly thing, it won't harm you. Now you get a little bit of a look at Paul's life. See, Paul, he went through a lot of things, but he had a lot of glory too. I mean, he was caught up to the third heaven. We got to acclimate to our new surroundings as we flow. We're transcending. Listened to Melissa yesterday, and she's always interesting. I hadn't heard her for several weeks, and she's talking about the sign of the Son of Man, and the 1260 days actually ended yesterday. And, you know, I'm thinking, she really knows how to put it together in her particular way that God's given to her, but the kingdom's here. We're right that far from Nasara right now. This part of the kingdom operation, setting God's people free. She was talking about, I said, I'm ahead of you, Melissa. I said, the Lord told me weeks ago, months ago, we're at a Red Sea moment. And she was talking about how God instructed the children of Israel to go round about all these other ways to get Pharaoh to say, they're sitting ducks. We'd be idiots to not go after them. It was God's plan. And then he took them out. There was a certain little ledge there you see in the movie by Cecil DeMille. There's a ledge there they were standing on. Well, she shows that ledge. There was actually a ledge there. You just think, the Lord knows what he's doing. If he can just get a few of us cooperating with him, we can turn this world upside down. And that's what we're going to be doing. When people begin to see what they have in their Christianity, and they no longer have to use all their efforts to try to take care of themselves, and they start finding out who they are and how much power God has given them, it's going to change this world. It can't help but happen. Okay, Mark 9. This is just another account of the transfiguration. But the thing I want to see here about Peter here, you know, he wants to build a tabernacle in verse 5. And Peter answered and said, Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. So that's what happened. We made our tabernacles. We go to our tabernacles. We don't venture outside of the tabernacles. We want the fish to jump in our fancy boat with the light shows, but we don't want to go out with our fishing net where they are. Transfigured here literally or figuratively means to transform. How do we transform? Renewing of our minds. That's how we begin to transform. We change our thinking. John heralded, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at your disposal. Change your mind. And he said repent. Repent means change your mind. It means start thinking differently. You can't think your old way and operate the kingdom way. You can't. Okay. Ascend means to just go up. Higher thinking. Less negativity. In fact, just letting the negativity roll off of you and keeping that heavenly thinking. Because whether you believe it or not, and I have a scripture on it somewhere here, we are under, well, I'm going to read that. It's right up here, but I'm going to go back here and see if I can find it right quick. It's out of the Amplified Bible, and I think it's wonderful. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. But we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven. And from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Savior, who will transform and fashion anew the body of our humanity to conform to and be like the body of his glory and majesty by exerting that power which enables him even to subject everything to himself. We are the citizens of the state, the commonwealth of heaven. We are under an open heaven. When that veil was rent, that veil was the man could go, could not go beyond the veil because man lost his place. God could no longer communicate with Adam. But when Jesus came, the veil was rent and it was massive. And only God could have rent it from the top to the bottom. So he opened the gateway for all to come in, for all to be part of heaven. God came down and walked in the garden with Adam. It wasn't separated. No. It's all one big happy family. In fact, the Holy Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven to rest on the earth. We're going to be one. That's the way he meant for it to be. We are now. If you get a hold of that. Okay. All right. Ascend. Let's look at a couple of scriptures on that. John 3:13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And it goes on to say, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then we get into, for so God so loved the world. He wanted to communicate back with his man. He wanted a relationship. That's why he created man in the first place. And Satan stepped in and ruined it. Don't you think it's time for him to not do that anymore? John 20. Well, we start in our own lives. Verse 16 says, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. He ascended. Where did he ascend to? Sit down in heavenly places where he said, Now we are seated with him. We are already in a place of ascension. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of this ascension? This is Ephesians chapter 4. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended into the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we're supposed to be, he's the head, we're supposed to be the body, the moving parts, and we are doing the kingdom. That's why the fivefold ministry was raised up for the ascension process. It's the renewing of our mind process. Revelation 12:11 says, They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. Romans 5:17, we're to reign in life as kings. We weren't just put here to be victims and slaves. All right, in this process, heaven has come to earth. You no longer have a barrier there, but you are operating under the commonwealth of heaven. This is kingdom operation, but it starts with kingdom thinking. That's why John said, repent. That don't mean get on the floor and grovel and think of every sin that you've ever done. That's not what it's saying here. You know, so many that are disillusioned with the Bible, I think they've never known Jesus. Because as I was listening to a person say that, I thought, the Lord gave me a few years ago, I remember one of my granddaughters had gotten born again, she said, I'm reading the Bible, but I don't understand any of it. And I said, you don't have to understand it. I said, keep reading it. And I said, your spirit understands it. Your spirit. And your spirit will get a hold of it. And naturally, you will begin to get the understanding of it as you let your spirit be transformed. Because people don't understand this is a spiritual book. You're not going to understand it with your mind. That's why we got the Holy Ghost in us, to enlighten us, to teach us. Where does He teach us? In our mind? No! He's in your spirit. That's where all the learning goes on. And then it gets to where it overtakes and it renews your mind and you give the understanding that you need to operate in it. But you, this is where it starts. You don't have to understand it. And there's probably parts of it we'll never understand. But you don't quit. You keep doing it. So if people say something like that to you, tell them that. This is a spiritual book for the spiritual man. If you want book learning, you know, go to college. But this is spirit man learning. This is God's schooling process, not seminary. And I'm not against seminaries, especially if they teach you to walk in the Spirit and everything. But that's why I said that we were to renew our minds with His Word. That was the first thing, so we could find out God's will. If you got a question about His will, there you go. All right, Luke 17. This is verse 20. And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Huh. Everybody looking for a sign. Well, I won't believe unless I see a sign. The kingdom of God's in you. Most are just waiting to see something. When I see Him on that white horse, then I'll believe. Since the kingdom of God is within, it has to do with your thinking processes, whether or not you ascend. You can keep on living the crappy old life you've lived if you want to. It's up to you. You cannot operate the kingdom of God without your thinking being changed. Romans 12, 1 and 2. All right, Acts 8. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is the desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understand thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, this is what, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all of the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now you know why? He heard the Spirit say, do this. Then he heard the Spirit say, do that. He didn't get up praying that day he'd be translated. Probably scared him. He thought, how did I end up here? It's just learning to walk in the supernatural. Walking in the kingdom. It's deciding, I'm going to obey the Lord. Whatever the Spirit says to me, I'll do it. How did Jesus operate in? I don't say anything. I don't do anything unless the Spirit says to do it. Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There you go. There's your answer. This is Romans 8, 14. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself, I don't like itself, himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We don't have to go around feeling bad because the trials have been so hard. When you start flowing in the supernatural and the glory starts showing up, that suffering, what he just said here. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We need to be focusing on the glory, not the suffering. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the servants of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath rejected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Jesus walked in the kingdom in earth. Once you change your mind, heaven is at your disposal. You start thinking that way. That's what ascension is about. It's about leaving the negativity of this earth world and its Satan's rule, what he's done, what's been done to us, how we've been hurt, how this has happened, that's happened, all the bad, yuck, yuck, yuck. You start to leave that behind. You start to get a glimpse of the glory and what you can be. It's not where you come from or who you are in this world system, but it's learning to come up out of that and rise above that and let God use you and operate in the glory. All right. You're thinking you must come up higher to walk higher. That's heavenly thinking will bring about heavenly manifestations. It's just the way the kingdom operates. It's like you're used to walking in the system you walk in and you get exactly what you expect. That's just the way it is. It's not any different in the heavenly one. Okay. The ascension to the heavenly realm will bring the same results it brought Jesus. He opened blind eyes, walked on water, turned water into wine, and on it goes. Raised the dead. Set at liberty those that were bruised. It is obvious to me that God wants us to leave the pyramids behind and do things his way. See, we've been under the system. Some say, well, what would I do then? Well, for the first time, they may actually depend on God instead of God being the last resort when all other options are exhausted. Here's a good start, the Lord's Prayer. And we've been praying that. It will cause your ascension. That's the prayer that Jesus told his disciples to pray. The kingdom would be in earth as it is in heaven. All you have to do is ask. That's okay. Matthew 7 here. He said, ask and it shall be given you. 7:7. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? He doesn't have anything else. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. No, he wants to give us good things. Right here, Jesus heals a leper, chapter 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. God don't have anything but good to give. Now you can understand why the religious deep state of their day didn't like Jesus. They preyed on the people, stole from them, and Jesus was a threat to their existence. Nothing has changed, has it? Same old, same old. Jesus put up with the same devil, same beast puppets, minions. The ascension is moving out of care-based living into carefree living, and we know Matthew 6, 24 through 36, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, what are we going to wear? Consider creation, how God takes care of them, how much more will he take care of you? I have made this a constant confession. I just say, thank you, Lord, and I cast my care. I give you praise, Lord, and I cast my care. Whatever it is, whatever thought pops in my head, thank you, Lord, I cast my care. We need to live that way. We need to live with that type of, I refuse to take care about anything. My Father takes care of me. Verse 13 to that same. It says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. This man, he knew about authority, but Jesus just said, he said, you don't have to come to my house. If you'll just speak the word, I'll believe it. He got what he wanted. Just believing. Okay, verse 14 says, and when Jesus saw, was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother-in-law laid sick of fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Then before he knew it, the whole house was filled up with sick people. I'm of a mind when we learn to flow in this, as much as we've learned to flow in the natural, there won't be a separation. Right now it's like, oh, I got to pray. Oh, better fast, better. No, it's not that way. Just as natural as you brush your teeth and comb your hair, you'll get out that door and you'll operate in the spirit and things will come across your path. You'll be praying for people, speaking a word to people, giving money to people, doing things for people. It'll just be natural. That's the way supernatural is natural. It's not, oh, we got to fast 30 days. We got to do all this stuff. Oh, it's religious. It's not natural. Anything natural about it. You know why you hate to do it? Because it's not natural. Oh, Lord. Read. You can read all through Matthew. Chapter 8, deliverance. Matthew 9, somebody's sick of the palsy. I mean, the whole chapter goes on about the different accounts of where Jesus just came across people and he healed them. They asked him for something and he did it. When you learn to flow this way, come out of care, cast your care, and just flow in the supernatural, you enter into the rest of God. You begin to enter into God's rest. And then you can only live in the blessing. Deuteronomy 28 talks about if you'll do all these things, you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, da, 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 you know, on and on it goes. If you don't, you're cursed. Well, the curse is gone. We've been redeemed from the curse. So now what now? There is no, if you do these things, it's just yes. It's just yes. All right, it's time to rest. Hebrews 4. Now you know when Jesus was at the well with the woman and the disciples went into town to get food, he said, I have food to eat that you know not of. And he was not talking about somebody had slipped him something to eat. He was talking about obeying the Father. You must needs go through Samaria. He went to Samaria and he talked to the woman at the well. He said, that's the meat that you don't know anything about, but you're going to learn. All right, Hebrews. Let us therefore, verse 1, fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was this gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, and as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake at a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must there enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not into because of their unbelief. I mean, God had to make it a law that you had to rest on Sunday to get them to do it. Again, he liveth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the example of unbelief. You know, it's talking here about Jesus, our high priest, and who we can come to. Flowing in the Spirit, it takes the work off of you. You're just doing what the Spirit says do. It's not something you have to work at. It's something you just have to obey. You hear the Spirit say something, just do what he says do. And if you learn to walk that way, the labor is out of it. It's not something, I got to work at the ministry. You know how many burnt out ministers there are? You can't do it that way. It was never meant to be that way. All right. We hear a lot about ascension in the social media these days, and they mean getting rid of negative energy. That's what they mean by that. Isn't that what we mean also? What's negative energy? Well, I can't. Or I'll never. That's negative energy. I can. That's positive energy. You know how somebody can come in that's a good motivational speaker and they can start speaking words and it just starts pumping you up. And by the time you're done, you feel like you could just slay the dragon, you know? You got somebody comes in and beats you down and says negative stuff, you just drag out of there. Yeah. It's the way it is. It's time to ascend. I'm going to read you a few scriptures here. Psalms. This is Psalms 24. Three and four. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Okay, can we see Isaiah here too? And it shall come to pass, verse 2, in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. This is the millennial kingdom we're talking about here. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. See, this thinking process that we've lived under, when all that starts to go, look at the difference. It seems like Revelation 11 and 12, where the church stood up and the Christ child was caught up to heaven to sit in third heaven authority with the Father. We're right up there with him. All right, sometimes we have growing pains. Growing pains. You know what growing pains are? Hebrews 12. We're growing spiritually. We're having growing pains. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he loveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. This is that ascension process of minds, the renewing of our minds to operate in the kingdom way. Did you know that the beast system was in place and operating here when Jesus was here? He confronted them often. Jesus did not incite the people to take up arms against them or the Romans. He taught them to ascend to defeating Satan by practicing the kingdom ways. When Jesus comes on his white horse in Revelation chapter 19, it's a triumph. And the army with him, I got to read this to you. I put this in here. It's not exactly goes with this, but it was so good I just thought, I got to share this. Because it kind of confirmed to me that the armies of heaven are angels. Okay, this is 2 Thessalonians. This is chapter 1, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and wonders, and with all deceivableness of righteousness of them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Wait a minute, I missed that. Just a minute.
You're in chapter 2. You said
chapter 2. Oh, no, it's 2. It's 2 Thessalonians.
Chapter
1. I'm in 2. That's what's wrong. Right here. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So what the Lord showed me was those angelic hosts is what's on the horses. And I looked in 2 Kings 6 through 8 through 10 where Elisha and Elijah, it says the chariots with angels, horses and chariots, the armies of heaven. Okay, that was just an interesting note, I thought. That was really, should have been saved for Wednesday night, but I want to... Yes, in Jesus' day, the reason they missed the time of his visitation, they were looking for him to step up as king and overturn the Romans. That's a fact. They were. That's why they thought. That's why they didn't. They missed it. It's because they did not discern. He didn't come to overthrow the Romans. What did he come to do? He didn't come to take out the Romans, but to free all of mankind from sin so they could once again be in communion with him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. He taught them to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. This was a spiritual thing. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So that was the reason. And they thought, no, we want, just like President Trump, we want him to just go in there and arrest everybody and put them on Gitmo and then televise all the executions. Isn't that true? Here's some heavenly intel for you today, okay? Bind the strong man. Bind and loose. Speak to the mountains. Cast out devils. Heal the sick. Make the earth just like heaven again. We need a hat. I mean, really. We have the ability to change it. And that's what Jesus came to teach them to do. So when he left, they would carry on. And they would take the earth that was had been given to them in the garden, us in the garden, and they would continue on and subdue it and take dominion over it. If we never arrested anybody, that's still our commission, and that's still our what the Lord's told us to do. Go and make as many more like you as you can. If President Trump never did another thing, we end up with Hyde and Biden and all that for, you know, I don't believe that, but you know what I'm saying? We have to get busy and get to work. When I hear these people on these shows and they're noble, they want to raise up all these groups to do this or that, and I'm thinking, if they would just as Christians just begin to take their authority, if everybody took their authority, how long would it take? We're going to have to do that anyway, regardless of their groups or whatever. Like I said, you can take them all out, but if you don't change the hearts of men, get them back on course. That's why the kingdom's not with observation. It's in you. People have to have a revelation of that. It's in me, isn't it? I can speak and change things. That's kingdom operation. That isn't Jesus coming to earth. I heard somebody say yesterday, well, people are just sitting back waiting for Jesus to come drop his feet down here and just take out everybody, you know. I'm thinking, yeah, I know. That's exactly what they're waiting for, and it's wrong. And I don't believe it's going to happen. People would argue me to the ground on that, but, you know, you're not going to win. No, the kingdom of God is within. And that's what the Lord's teaching us to do, is to walk in it. But I'm just telling you, be prepared for the supernatural to manifest. So let's bring on the angels. I don't want them demons. But it goes with the territory. The supernatural realm that's made up of spirits. It's the realm of spirits. Okay, I think I'm done here. Yeah.